you, Reverend Britt. It is just such a joy to be back in my old hometown. I lived in New York City for 22 years, and it's still the best city in the world. Yeah. And I'm still traveling, and you know, I was on Broadway last night, actually not on stage, but I was in the audience, and I had the opportunity to see this wonderful new drama, which you may have seen, The Band's Visit. So I thought, how appropriate this whole dynamic of the coming together of two cultures, the Egyptians and the Israelis. And as Reverend Britt said, I just happened to be in Egypt in September, and it was my third time there. And I've had the great privilege as a journalist for many years to travel around the world and to really experience people in their diverse cultures and wisdom traditions in a very embodied way. And it has been such a joy for me. And I remember in my early days as a freelance writer in New York City, I would be thinking of ways to get to the next sacred site. And I remember camping out in my editor's office, and I wouldn't take no for an answer until he said I could go to Bali, because I was sure that there was an assignment there. I just didn't know what. So I felt that if I was going to be a freelancer, that I may as well be as free as possible. And this community here, just the energy and the dynamism and the joy, and this whole idea that we want to dance with joy, right? And that love will lead the way. It is, as we all know, a time of great turbulence in the world, great uncertainty, and polarization. Probably more than we may have ever seen it before. And so I'm always honored to speak at Unity Communities, because I know you are all on the path and have been for a long time. And it feels to me, and every time I give a talk in a workshop, I ask, how many people are feeling a sense of urgency right now? Maybe we can't identify it. It's an urgency, right? For me, what that is to be able to allow ourselves to step more fully into our divine power and presence as way showers for others. And I'm sure that you have all had many opportunities in your daily life to serve in that way. And more, those of us who have been on this path of the deep inner disciplined work and focus and purposeful intent, that we are feeling this urgency. And I like to envision it as the rising ship to the new earth, not the sinking ship. And so we are standing there in divine service, holding open the hatch, so to speak, to assist others in moving through to this rising ship of the new earth. And despite the outward appearances of polarization and tension and turbulence, we know that we are being called more and more to move so deeply into our heart centers that there is nowhere else to go but in ultimately into this unified state within. And the more that we practice this, and we all have many spiritual practices and tools in our toolboxes at this point, the more that we practice this heart-centered awareness, the more the outer paradigm shifts. And perhaps we're already starting to see that with the crumbling and the dissolution of the old paradigm. Way, way back in the 60s and 70s, it was called the New Age, the age that we're living in now. Now we say the new paradigm, the new Renaissance, the new Camelot, the new Jerusalem. What an exciting time to be here, despite appearances to the contrary. And so what I have learned in my travels throughout the world, and as I said, I would find places to go. That's how I got my assignments. I wrote for a lot of different magazines, and if you're in that business long enough as a journalist, you write for everybody because you need to make a living, right? And so somehow my heart would call me to these sacred sites and to the world's wisdom traditions, because I knew it was much more, deep down, more than the act of writing the article about the culture and the travel, which I really enjoyed, and it was really was a lot of fun and a lot of work, but there was something more to it. And I realized that ultimately that journey out into the world as it is for all of us, right, is a journey back here into the heart that takes us more deeply within. And I was really on so many of these sacred journeys, which began in, I'd say, my early 30s. So been going on for a while now. And it was all about, I began to see, my own continuing, ongoing journey of inner illumination and expansion is what I call it, which is the journey that we're all on. And it's really, whether we acknowledge it this way or not, it's a journey towards wholeness and unity. And what I discovered in all of these cultures, whether it was walking with the Aborigines in the Australian Outback, where I had been sent to write about the Aboriginal rock art and contemporary art, and it was a cultural story, or whether it was to investigate a new tomb in Egypt with Kenneth Weeks, crawling through KV5, or whether it was in the Cambodian jungles to walk with the Cambodian architecture students who were rebuilding Angkor after many, many years of destruction and devastation, or whether it was in Peru at Machu Picchu and experimenting with the sacred plant medicines. These were all experiences that my soul called me to have, and we're probably all familiar with that feeling of what I call, what I wrote about in my book, Sojourns of the Soul, where I chart 7 of the most transformative journeys I took out into the world in my spiritual travel memoir. I call it my own personal discomfort zone. And somehow, I was always creating a discomfort zone. You know, and my mother would say, I don't understand why you can't just be a lawyer and have kids and just live near me in Pittsburgh. But I knew that that was, my brothers did that. So that wasn't what I was here to do in this incarnation. And so all of these wisdom traditions and the people especially, the heart-centered one-on-one connections, which by the way, I see that more and more in New York City every time I come back here. And like I said, I was here for 22 years. And so each of these journeys all brought me back to the heart. And they all have wisdom teachings and practices that overlap and interweave, right? That brought me back here. And it really was only in hindsight when I began reflecting on all of these experiences, which ultimately, as I saw in hindsight, because I didn't plan it this way, it felt like a divinely orchestrated single movement journey up through my 7 main energy centers, where I was receiving a lot of revelations and mystical insights and energetic activations, whatever you want to call it. But I knew that I had really... I had walked to the edge of who I knew myself to be. And I feel that we're all being called to do that now in what sometimes feels like a very uncomfortable, to use a mild word, an unsettling way of the stripping away, right, of the layers, as the Course in Miracles says, to the awareness of love's presence within us, within the Sacred Heart Center. And, you know, I feel that Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk, had a wonderful word for this. And he said that what we are going through now, he's no longer with us on this earth, but this began, this inner transformation began decades ago, was a complete inner revolution of the heart, which he called a metanoia, which is an ancient Greek word for that inner revolution. And that the spiritual path, as this is what all of you live and breathe, and we know in the Unity community, is love. And I was able to learn this through my experiences in the world, not in an intellectual way, but in what I call a divinely embodied way, where we're being asked to anchor this in. It's not specifically what Merton was talking about, not specifically the particular love that we have for our loved ones, our friends, our families, our partners, kids, pets. We've all tasted that sublime nectar of that universal love, that unitive love that comes from that high heart center, right? Which connects us with all that is. And it's that high heart center from which we open, surrender, trust, and allow and receive that very high frequency of that non-dual unitive love for all. You know, the Buddhists have a practice, you may be familiar with it, and I would do this on the New York City subways, and I even miss the subway, I have to say, now that I live in Taos, New Mexico, which I sometimes call the last frontier. And the Buddhists would say to look upon everyone as if they are your mother, a complete stranger, right? Moving in to that space where there is no separation. And some people say, well, you know, I didn't have such a hot mother, so, well, then we can pick somebody else, right? If that's the case. And so each of these traditions, I remember one of my most profound learnings about what it means to be focused in my heart center over a sustained period of time, because that's what I feel where we are now. Those of us here in this community as the way showers of the new earth, the light keepers, right? Everyone is a light bearer. It's just, as we know, some of us are remembering more quickly. That is the only difference. And no single person goes home unless we all go home together. So I remember spending some time on one of my assignments in New Mexico, and I thought, I'm going to just take some time off for myself. And I went to Christ in the Desert Monastery. Now, I had been raised as a Catholic, and I left the church as a little girl. Somehow, I just felt like I was meant to be on an alternative path. And that's fine. We embrace all paths in the Unity consciousness and in the Unity community. And so I find myself in my late 40s at this gorgeous Benedictine monastery in the Chama River Canyon of northern New Mexico. And I'll tell you, for a New Yorker, it was what I call an extreme experiment in silence and slowness. And that wasn't easy, because as soon as I arrived, I was asking for the key to my room. He said, "Lady, you must be from New York." So, anyway, I remember as I began to synchronize more, we've all had this feeling, right? It's just a matter of catching ourselves and moving back to the center, the still point of the sacred heart, the high heart, working in tandem with the heart, where the poet T.S. Eliot said, "The fire and the rose are one." The integration of all the opposites, all the dualities that we experience in this paradigm. And so as I began to synchronize with this timelessness of Mother Earth, the Native American presence there, and the beautiful rituals of the Benedictine monks, I had a thought, and I wanted to be able to speak with one of these monks. Since I, as I said, had left the church a long time ago, I was sure that he had some wisdom for me. And so sure enough, as we know, when we are in that space of supreme presence, which is when we're focused in and through our heart centers, and we've dropped out of our minds and into our hearts, one of my favorite mantras that I keep reminding myself when I catch myself veering off the still point, right? That pendulum where we want to be like this as we move through these uncertain times, especially so we can be of even greater service to others. So, sure enough, of course it's easier in the desert to not be distracted, right? There's not a whole lot going on. So, sure enough, there was Brother Ernesto leaning against a bookcase in the gift shop. And I walked up to him and I said, "Brother Ernesto, what does it mean to you to be spiritual, to be a spiritual person?" And he said, "Well, what do you think it means?" And I said, "Well, to be of service to others." He said, yes, that's part of it. That's not the whole thing. I said, okay. Well, to be more diligent in my meditations and my prayers. He said, yeah, that's part of it. I said, well, then what is it? He said, it is about where is your attention in every moment? And that seemingly simple statement was one of the most profound spiritual teachings I had ever received. Where is my attention in every moment, right? Am I distracted? Which, of course, in a city like New York, there's so much to capture our attention. We all have responsibilities and obligations and jobs and families, and yet we can always, in the simple act, right, of self-observation and noticing, come back to the still point, the intersection. We see the cross, right? The intersection of the cross is at the heart center, where all of the dualities are collapsed. Where we perform that sacred inner marriage called the Hieros Gamos in ancient Greek, which was a foundational teaching and practice and initiation in so many, if not all, of the ancient mystery schools, from Egypt to the Essenes in the Holy Land, who were preparing the way for Yeshua, to the priests and priestesses of Avalon, to the ancient Maya, and the indigenous peoples all over the world. So when we're present, what Brother Ernesto reminded me of is, where's my attention? Am I out of alignment in my thoughts, in my words, my actions, my perceptions? Or am I consistently refining? And we know it's an ongoing practice. We know that we are what I call divine creator beings of infinite potential, infinitely expanding. And yet that moment-by-moment awareness where we can bring ourselves back in a nanosecond, in direct alignment with our I Am presence, and I love the I Am reading. Our I Am presence, our electronic body of light, is said to exist about an arm's length above our crowns, in direct alignment with Source, and God, the Creator, whatever our word is for the infinite I Am. And so that is the only difference between the Ascended Masters, whether it be Yeshua or Mother Mary or Sai Baba, at this point, or Yogananda, or any of the Buddha. All of the world's wisdom traditions have had the great teachers and mystics that have led the way and shown the way for us, leaving footprints of light into the future that we can follow. And for so many of these mystics, the way in and the way out was through the heart center. And the only difference between them and us, masters in the making, is that their attention, which was the implication of what Brother Ernesto said to me, their attention never wavered for a second. Their attention, in alignment with their own I Am presence, beginning here in their heart center, in a column of light connected to the heart of their I Am and the infinite I Am, God and the Creator. And this is what feels to me like the final initiation on our path to wholeness and complete self-mastery, is being able to sustain our attention. And to the ancient Toltecs had a word for this act of self-observation, which I know has come through in many of our meditative traditions, East and West. They called it stalking oneself, S-T-A-L-K-I-N-G, stalking oneself. And people say, well, I love that idea of the sacred intermarriage, you know, within my heart, but how, there must be some steps. There must be a blueprint. How do we do it? That sacred intermarriage, when we're collapsing the opposites of this duality paradigm, which keeps us in perceived separation, and the Course in Miracles speaks so beautifully about this. We know that we are living in a perceived reality of light and dark, masculine and feminine, spirit and matter, the sacred and the sensual. And yet, in that place of unity, in the sacred heart, which is really an alchemical crucible where all of these dualities and opposites that define this paradigm are collapsed and integrated. And perhaps some of you are familiar with the Gospel of Thomas, which has the secret mystical sayings of Yeshua, or Jesus, Master Jesus. The church doesn't recognize it. These are very, very powerful sayings. And one of the most famous ones was when he said, when you can make the two into the one, right? The two into the one, and the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and male is female, and female is male, then you will enter the kingdom of the Sacred Heart, the seat of our Christ consciousness. And what I've been shown, as I see it, the launching pad of our ascension into higher dimensions of consciousness on our return path home to God. It all happens here. And so, yes, we have so many wonderful tools at our disposal, so many meditations and practices, as I said, from all the world's wisdom traditions. And what they all endeavor to do is to create more and more intimacy with the heart, to assist us in dropping out of our minds and into our hearts, to our inner GPS, our inner God positioning system. And, you know, it's just like anything that takes us into such heights and depths of awareness and expansion is seemingly simple, yet profoundly powerful. And so, how do we move through the world more and more as we're being asked to do as wayshowers of the light on this planet, which we know is needed more urgently now than ever. Well, for me, it's the path of direct revelation, which happens in that eternal now, the eternal present. And we know from quantum physics and so many other wisdom teachings that the past, present, and future coexist simultaneously, right? And so the more that we're aligned, as Brother Ernesto reminded me, the more that we're observing when we are distracted and come back to center, it's a moment by moment practice where eventually we refine ourselves, right? Like the ancient metaphor of the piece of coal becoming refined as a diamond after eons of pressure, and in our case, trials and initiations and tests. I like the word initiation because it feels like it's, you know, getting us to an even higher version of ourselves, as opposed to saying obstacles or setbacks or challenges, which can then become a story and ongoing tape. But we are moving out of the circle of time, more and more of us, and into the circle of love, which is in the now. And we know that when we're fully present, we are thinking with our hearts, seeing with our hearts, feeling with our hearts, leading with our hearts. And what happens? We feel more joy. We want to dance with joy. Like the song said today. And we're like children, because children don't have any cares about what comes next. And for me, I feel more centered, more balanced within, and more grounded. More grounded. Because after all, if we're here, in these sacred vessels, our bodies, we really need to ground into them, especially those of us on a spiritual path where we may have perfected the higher energy centers, right? The third eye and the crown. But to not neglect the equally sacred energy centers, the seven main energy centers, the root and the sacral and the solar plexus, grounding us more fully into Mother Earth. Why? Because we can be of service more effectively that way. And so Rumi called us, the Sufi Persian mystic and poet of the 13th century, called us in one of his poems to step out of the circle of time and into the circle of love, where more and more we are sustaining our attention here. And I'm sure that you all lead lives of heart-centeredness. And so what we're endeavoring to do now, as I say, is to sustain it over time, to maintain that stillness in the still point of the Sacred Heart. And, you know, people all over the world now are looking to you for guidance, looking to us. They want answers. More and more people are waking up. And a lot of people don't have the tools and the practices to create that intimacy with the heart. And I remember my Zen meditation teacher in New York City said that the meaning of the word Zen means intimacy with the heart, which I thought was fascinating. So continually reminding ourselves in this new renaissance, this time of the new paradigm, an extremely exciting time, and yet also an unsettling time, that the more we shift our attention there, if that's the only practice we ever had, and I'm a fan of simplicity, and we are all now acknowledging each other as masters on the path, igniting our hearts when we come together in community like this, like the lights on Indra's net. And as we continue to light each other up, we send these frequencies out through the grid system, the crystalline grid system of the planet and beyond. And so even just one simple smile, one simple eye contact, we know, can create a huge shift in consciousness. And we are all more powerful than we give ourselves credit for. And so, if we can just remind ourselves as much as possible that the only limitations to the self are those that we believe in. And if all we ever did was hold the vibration of joy and gratitude, however we do that, that would be enough to change this entire planet for the better. And it's happening. It's happening now. And it's just so exciting. And so to close, I just want to say, to tell you about a message that I received when I was in the Holy Land in 2015. And I was reminded of this last night when I saw this beautiful play about the coming together of the Egyptians and the Israelis trying to find a common ground of understanding. It was such a heart-centered production. I remember stepping off the plane in Jerusalem, going to my hotel room and showering. And of course, there's fog on the mirror, right, when we step out of the shower. And what was traced in the mirror as if by an invisible hand was an infinity sign and a big, bulging heart. And I said to my husband, this is the theme of our journey and our lives, infinite love. Infinite love. The high heart. The love that demands that the lower self collapse into and merge with the other beyond all separation. And we're all moving there together, remembering who we are and who we have always been. Mystics, magicians, lovers, and ambassadors of thank you.